So welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody had a good August and happy Labor Day weekend. I left you, as I'm sure many of you don't remember, but I do because I left a note in the Gemara with a question for homework. So I'm not going to go around selecting people's homework, but I will repeat the question. And if anybody has anything to share, I'm happy to listen, and then I'll perhaps share my own thought on it. We were in the middle of talking about the Sukkah de Zimmer. The Rif quotes a number of halachos here, a number of things on a tangent that are related to tefillah and preparation for tefillah. And the Rif quotes the Gemara and Shabbos, where Rabbi Yose said, my lot should be with those who say Hallel every day. And the Gemara said, what is this Hallel? After a little discussion, the Gemara reached the conclusion this is not Hallel on Mitzri, which we say on Rosh Chodesh. It's not Hallel HaGadol, which we say every Shabbos in our Pesukei Dezimra, but rather it is Hilula of Pesukei Dezimra. So there is it is enormously praiseworthy to recite Pesukei Dezimra every day. What is Pesukei Dezimra? So the Rif said that Pesukei Dezimra is from Tehila LeDavid, which is the beginning of Mizmar Kuf Mem Hei, until the end of Sefer Tehillim, which includes the five Hallelukas, five Mizmarim that begin and end with the word Hallelukah. Interestingly enough, there's some discussion here already in the Beis Yosef quoting the question as to we actually do a couple of odd things in Pesukei Dezimra. Firstly, we don't start with Tehillah LeDavid. We start with two Pesukim of Ashrei, one of which immediately precedes Tehillah LeDavid at the end of Mizmar Kuf Mem Dalet, but one which is taken from earlier until Mizmar Pei something, I think, Pei Vav or something like that, where the other pasuk of Ashrei is taken. But we take two pesukim from before. And then, even maybe more interesting, at the end of Ashrei, but it's not Ashrei, at the end of Tehillah LeDavid, at the end of Mizmar Kuf Mem Vav, we add a pasuk as well, which, because we say Ashrei three times a day, we tend to forget that it's not part of that Mizmar, which is Va'anachnu Nevarech Yom Me'atah Me'adolam Hallelujah. That pasuk is not found in Mizmar Kuf Mem Vav. The last pasuk of Mizmar Kuf Mem Vav is Kilas Hashem Yidav Kivar Kolas Hashem Lama. Period. We take Vanachu Levarech. That pasuk is taken. We do recognize the pasuk. That is the pasuk taken from the regular Hallel. The end of Mizmar. I think Kuf Yud Dalid. So the question of why do we add these pasukim? In the case of the latter, it would appear the reason we add that pasuk is because it ends on Hallelujah, and we want to use that as the segue or connect all the mizmorim. One mizmor ends with Hallelujah, and the next mizmor begins with Hallelujah. I've only seen this once in my life. I don't know where this minhag came from, but growing up, there was one person who would daven Pesukei Dezimra, the shul I grew up in Muncie, where when he would reciting Pesukei Dezimra at the Amud, he would recite. He would say, Yimloch Hashem Lalachayat Siyam Ladarvadar, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. He would recite the first word of the next Mizmar as if it were the ending of that. And I don't know I suspect the person is not Dein HaChayim anymore, and I didn't even think to ask the question. I was a teenager. I didn't have the gumption to go up and say, like, why are you doing that? But as I think back, kind of stuck in my head, and it actually makes sense in the context of this minhag, the idea that we add Vanachnu Mevarech Chayim to end on Hallelujah, because the next Mizmar starts Hallelujah, and they all end and start, you can almost sort of see why someone would take the Hallelujah from the next part and attach it to the Hallelujah that you just finished with. Be that as it may, that's what the Rif says, that Pesukei Dezimra goes from Tehillah LeDavid until the end of Mizmar Kuf Nun. Note at the end of Mizmar Kuf Nun, we also do something. We say something that's not actually reflective of the text, which we repeat, Kol HaNeshamot HaLayah HaLayah twice. Now, if you look in Sefer Tehillim or in a Tanakh with the Tehillim, the pasuk does not appear twice. The pasuk appears once. Kol HaNeshamot HaLayah HaLayah, the end. Why do we double it? We often double things at the end of a unit. So there is a practice, I believe, some people, am I making this up? Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Moed, that we say twice at the end of Bat Yashir. Am I making that up? That is my impression, that we say that twice.
You're correct.
It marks the end. So the Zimra at the end, but the Shira, whatever it is. So that's why we do this at the end of Mizmar Kuf Nun, and we repeat that pasuk at the end. Note, by the way, that as far as I know, at least, when we will recite Mizmar Kuf Nun in the bracha of shofros on Rosh Hashanah, we don't repeat Kol Hanashama Al Yahadliyah. We just say it once, because that's the mizmor. And we're not reciting Sufi Zimmer, it's just in a series of psukim with shofros. So that's the risk position. Rashi, however, in Masechet Shabbos, when he describes what Sukkot Zimra is, so Rashi says Sukkot Zimra really is, besides Tila L'David, and Tila L'David might not be part of Sukkot Zimra. Tila L'David we might recite because of what the Gemara we learned in the first parak in Brachos, that, you know, that someone who says, Ashrei or Tila L'David three times a day, is a Ben Olam Haba, and the Gemara explains because A, it has the acrostic, it gets every letter of the Aleph base, and B, it is also as poseach haserech omasti elcho chai ratzon. So Rashi says that Sukkot Zimra is kuf mem ches and kuf nun. And we will talk about that. Rashi's position is actually reflected in a halacha that many of you may know, maybe not, depends on whether you would taught this if you were to have the privilege, an opportunity to go get a yeshiva day school education, and if they taught halacha to you. But before I talk about the ramifications of Rashi's Shita, the question that I left us with was, why does Rashi say that? In other words, what is it about Mizmor Kuf Mem Ches and Mizmor Kuf Nun that marked them as Psukei de Zimra as opposed to Kuf Mem Vav, Kuf Mem Zayin, and Kuf Mem Ches? So you say they're all the Hallelujah, they're all, you know, praising God, this, that, the other thing. What makes Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun different? The Rashi says that that is the essence of Sukkot Zimra, as opposed to the other Mizmorim. So I'm really at fault because if I were on top of my game, which I'm not, I would have asked Lenny, you know, twice during August to send out a reminder for people for the homework. But I didn't. So why would I expect, you know, I would have forgotten too, except for in my Gemara, I have this little sticky that told me where we left off. And it had three things on it, where we left off, I don't know what the third thing was, and that I left the question of Kuf Mem Ches Kuf Nun. So I would have forgotten that, given a homework assignment. Does anybody want to, in all seriousness, anybody want to share thoughts on a particular reason why we might, why would Rashi say the last is more Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun?
I looked up a lot of my Sfarim and looked up on these, I could find nothing that gives a reason just to say that, particularly if you're running late, you say, Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun.
Rabbi Friedman is, however, barking up the right tree. He knows the halacha that I was talking about, which I have on the source sheet, which I will share with you when we finish the opening discussion, which is, what do you do when you walk Chas V'Shalom? Chas V'Shalom, I know it never happens, but it shouldn't happen, that you walk into shul late, and the chazan is well on his way to Yishtaba, and you don't have enough time to put on whatever you need to put on, and to say all of Psukei Dezimra before the chazan is going to get the Birchas Kriya Shema. What do you do? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about that. It actually comes from the Gaonim, and it's quoted in Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashi here. We'll look at that. So Rabbi Friedman knows well that there is a triage stage at which you say Ashrei, Kuf Mem Ches, and Kuf Nun. If you have enough time for those. Baruch Shomar, Ashrei, Kuf Mem Ches, Kuf Nun, Yishtaba. If you don't have time for that, then you cut it down to Ashrei. But we'll take a look at that source in a moment. But I still don't see, I think that if you look at the Achronim there, they'll link it to Rashi Shita, but nobody explains why Rashi specifically says. Larry?
I mean, just if you, it's simplistic, but if you look at the amount of how the word Hallel in one form or another, as a percentage of the mizmor, it's, you know, it's certain, and even in, I think I didn't have a chance to count because I think I missed the last year, so I didn't know the question, but it's just the number of times you say hallelujah and hallel is, you know, far greater in those two mizmorim than the other two. So if we're saying that this is hallel in some form or another, you know, that's where I would kind of begin to look at the, you know, answer the question.
So I think Larry's observation, I didn't think of that in those terms. I think Larry's observation is correct. I know that it's correct. I know it's for the reason that I'm going to offer that that is the case. But I think that's an excellent way of putting it and even linking it to the fact that it's called Hilul of the Psukei Dezimra. So that, it may be that one doesn't have to do anything further than that. Larry has given the answer. I want to go a little bit further with it. You know, Larry, your father was not here, but I hope you would appreciate the drush And I say this drush, but I mean, it might be pshat in Rashi's approach. But I think Larry's answer, first one, is the correct answer. Fundamentally, it may be called ilulod sukkah de zimra because that mizmar is every pasuk basically is, almost every pasuk in Pukhlem Chas, and I think every pasuk in Pukhnun begins with hallelu or halleluhu. And so that is the quintessence of hallel. But then the question, you still want to ask the question, why? Because what does that mean or what does that tell us about the mizmar? Any other thoughts? Lenny, you look like you'd like to.
Yeah, they both are exploring the totality of the entire cosmos from the celestial sphere to the earthly sphere, recognizing God's majesty and praising God. Kol HaNeshama is every instrument, every possible articulating instrument, including the voice of man, is praising God, and the middle Kuf Mem Chet is the one about, it starts out in the heavenly spheres, and then everything all the way down, and there's a pecking order almost like of the spheres of existence, and all of them are praising God. So I think they're both connected in that way, and that connects to what Larry said, because everything and everyone and every being is recognizing and praising God. They each have a disproportionate a number of iterations of that word, H-A-L-L.
Okay, so I think, Lenny, that was spoken very well. I see the pulpit rabbi and you was still working well, that it was very well done. I think you're correct. I think you move, again, what I'm going to say is a step further, which now I'm so glad that Rabbi Lichtenstein is here to appreciate what might be drush, but I think could be what is true and it might be what's going on. So you're both pointing to the fact. So you both highlighted the verbs. So Lenny, I would say that Kuf Mem Ches essentially is a cosmos. It's who should praise God. And it goes from the heavens down to the living beings, the things created in the heavens, the inanimate things in earth as well. Taninim b'chol tahomos. All of that should praise God. Mizmor Kuf Nun is really about how you praise God. It's all halu, the minim bugav, halu b'sofimachol. In other words, it's the manner in which you praise God. You're right, Kol HaNeshama at the end sort of encapsulates everything. But what strikes me, so anybody else want to comment? So I think, firstly, your comments are both excellent and on the mark. And if I'm correct, they certainly underlie what I'm going to suggest, which is the following. If you look at all the other Mizmorim, they all praise God, and we praise God for his things that he does. I would call it, in a certain sense, conditional praise. God does this. He's osa nishpat mashukim, nosei macham lor even. It's almost these are the reasons you should praise God. It's God does this, therefore he is worthy of praise. And this is true for Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin, all the things God knows, saying the Pema Lachma, Livnei Orev Asher Yikravu, etc., etc. All the bounty that God provides to the earth, the rain and the snow and the hail, etc. And you go to Mizmor Kuf Mem Tes, which talks about God exercising his dominion over kings. It's all about the things that God does. It's a certain kind of relationship with God, which I want to call a conditional relationship, but in effect, it's an exchange. God has earned our praise because he does X. But Mizmor Kuf Mem Ches and Mizmor Kuf Nun, except for the last line in Kuf Mem Ches, just a free throwaway, do not speak about the things that God does. It is praise that is not conditioned upon anything. It is just an exhortation to get up and praise the creator of the universe. And if one were to think about the difference between, I would say, a relationship between spouses and all other relationships, the relationship between Knesset Yisrael, between the Jewish people and God, is compared to the relationship of a husband and a wife and a husband. And when one thinks about that, well, of course, in a relationship between a husband and wife, each one does things to one another. I think that one is supposed to appreciate one's spouse because they are. One has made a commitment, and that's it. One is not counting what anybody does. One is not adding up what anybody does. It is supposed to be unconditional praise. All other relationships, whether it's parents to children, which is complicated, friends, siblings, so those are relationships to some extent in which there really is a role of, now, hopefully you're not necessarily counting chits, who did what, but that is something that is, in effect, conditioned upon what one does for the other. In the relationship of parent and child, it's often not seen this way and it's not understood this way, but the halacha understands what the mitzvah of kibbutz ava'im is, that kibbutz ava'im is not my mother wants me to be a doctor because she can shep nachas from her Jewish, my son, the doctor, or my parents want me to choose this path. Kibbutz ava'im means when the parents are old and they can't take care of themselves, then it's the child's responsibility. And in a certain way, while children will never do for parents what parents do for children, parents take care of children when they're young and helpless, and children are obligated to take care of parents when they're older and helpless. There is a, it is framed in halacha, it is seen through a certain sense, a quid pro quo, in a certain sense. And I think it's certainly true for siblings and most friend relationships, but that's not the relationship of spouses. The spouses have to be hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I think that's why Rashi understands that Nizmar Kuf Memches and Kuf Nun, which Larry and Lenny have essentially both pointed out, Larry's pointed out that the propensity or the preponderance of hollow verbs, and as Lenny has spoken about, really the scope, everything is praising God from the heavens down to the lowest part of creation in every way in which you praise God. There's no explanation really offered as to why you praise God. You praise God because it's an unconditional relationship. I think I may be going farther into the brush, but I think that starting with what Lenny and Larry said, I think that is why Rashi recognizes that Sukkah Mizimra is specifically Kuf Memches and Kuf Nun, as opposed to the other Mizmarim, which have Halleluka, and they have a few Hallels, but they are really a broader discussion as to God's role in the universe, as opposed to a, sort of an unconditional praising of God. Okay.
Can I interject something?
Please. I'm so glad that you came here for this. Yeah, I don't know if you like it or not like your site.
Right. I don't know where you are in the Gemara, because I...
we're going to share... We're in the Rif, actually, and we're going to... I'm going to share in a moment. We just learned the Rif about Sukkah de Zimra. Okay.
Please share. And the Rashi. What did Rashi say?
Rashi, in the Rif in Brachos says that Sukkah de Zimra is Ashrei through the end of Tehillim. But Rashi in Masech Shabbos, where Rabbi Yossi says, you have Chelki and Gourmet Halo B'choyom, and the Gemara says, he loads Sukkah Zimra. Rashi says, Kufem Chesem Kufnot, Sukkah Zimra.
Right. Well, I remember learning prayer with the Rav. It was a tremendous, tremendous experience. And he distinguished Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun from the other Hallelukas. I don't want to get into his philosophical terminology. These two are the numinous relationship that we have with God, which is awesome, overriding, not specific, but very much you described it in your own way, and he used the terminology of Rudolf Otto. In the idea of the holy. He was a Christian existentialist. I would never have heard of Rudolf Otto from my Columbia education. I learned about Rudolf Otto in the Rav's philosophy of prayer seminar. And he picked this up from Rashi, I think. Now it appears to me, obviously, though I don't remember him quoting Rashi on it. And he said that if you don't have time to say the whole Sukkah de Zimra, so there's a hierarchy of things that you say, and Ashrei and the Hallelukas is sort of the least that you can say. And the Rav said, and if you can't say all the Hallelukas, you should say number 3 and number 5. He distinguished them in different words from exactly the way I think you're discussing it. And I didn't hear Larry. I heard Lenny. I didn't understand a word that Lenny said because he was using language that is beyond me. But I know what he was driving at. And that these two represent this awesome view of God, distant from us, but magnificent and awesome, and it's general praise. Whereas numbers 1, 2, and 4 in the Hallelujahs are what Rudolf Otto calls Caritas Dei. God is dear, from the Latin and Italian, caro. It fits with the Rav's whole idea of God being at some points a Baal Chesed to us. And you were talking about we're grateful for specific things that he did for us. And then there's another relationship, which is the numinous relationship, which is, it's not a close relationship. It's on the other, quite the contrary. You're so struck by it. You're almost frightened by it, but you're awestruck. And that's what 3 and 5 are, whereas 1, 2, and 4 are much more personal. And as you pointed out, he does things for us. Harofe l'shmurei lev. Ma'odeid anavim. Anyway, I just wanted to add that. He spent a lot of time explaining this, so you should feel that you still have time left if you want.
Okay. So that was the answer. So that might be the answer. I think the Rav's answer is similar on one end, but a little different on the other. It's similar on the 1, 2, and 4. It's a little different approach than 3, 5. But certainly what Larry pointing out that the usage of Hey Lam and Lam in every pasuk, and Lenny's observation also, I think, certainly is the starting point where one has to jump off from there, wherever one goes afterwards, to understand why Rashi singles those two out. Okay, so now I'm going to share my screen because I would like to resume finishing talking a little bit about Psukhi de Zimra, and what Rabbi Lichtstein, you cited in the name of the Rav, is actually, I believe, in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. So I'm going to share the source sheet. Okay, I assume people can see it now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just read the riff again. I think we probably read this the last time. The riff, and again here, the riff at the beginning of our parak, most of these halachos that we've been looking at do not appear in our parak, because this is the parak that deals with, I'll say, the contents of tefillah, many of the contents of tefillah. I mean, the fourth parak does a little bit also, although the fourth parak tends to deal more with zmanim, minyan, and things like that, and the formal text of tefillah. So here, the Rif collects any number of halachos that relate to how we pray. And so he writes, the Garcina Beperakol Kisvei HaKodesh, Amar Rabbi Yose, Yehei Chelki Im Gomrei Halel Bechol Yom. So Inni, the Gemara asks, if you speak about God's miracles in certain ways every day, then they lose their specialness. It's like you're saying God didn't really do anything. So the Gemara there answered, Ki Kamrina Psukhi de Zimra. Amrina. He was talking about Psukhi de Zimra. Rabbi Yose thought, you know, his share in the world to come should be with those who say Psukhi de Zimra every day, which to us may be a little striking because most of us, there's some of us go to shul, say Psukhi de Zimra every day. I don't think we think ourselves so great for it, but maybe if we said it with the kavana that Rabbi Yossi had in mind, we would think ourselves greater for it. So my nihu, what is Psukhi de Zimra? So this part is not in the Gemara. This is what the Rif is adding on his own. So the Rif says it begins with Hila David, the first pasuk in this Markul Fem Hey, goes all the way till the end of Sefer Tehillim. So the Chachamim instituted a bracha before and a bracha after Psukhi de Zimra. Note here, by the way, these brachas are not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. The Rif is quoting from the period of the Gaonim. Umaynihu, what is the brachos? Baruch Sha'amar v'yishtava. Hilkach, says the Rif. Therefore, miboy le le'inish de lo le'ishtauye, michi maska v'baruch, Sha'amar, ad misayim le'in l'shmona esed. So this is somewhat interesting in the Rif. The Rif says, because you have a bracha before and after Psukhi de Zimra, you're not allowed to talk between the time you start Baruch Sha'amar until the time you finish your Amida. Now, obviously, why you can't talk between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach is you'd be interrupting in the middle of Psukhi de Zimra. You can't speak from the time you start Baruch until the time you finish your Shmona Esed because you're going to be either in the middle of Kriya Shema, or in the middle of tefillah, which you're not allowed, you know, there are exceptions, not so much in tefillah, but in Kriya Shema, in the middle of a section, the between sections, and those halachas will also apply, those leniencies will apply during Pesachet Zimra, but it means here, sicha betela, it means unnecessary conversation, which is almost all conversation that takes place in shul, between people, not all, but it is not necessary to be talking during that time, hence it is prohibited to talk after Aruch Sha'ama. The interesting question is, it makes sense that you can't talk when you start Baruch Shema until you finish Yishtabach, and it makes sense that you can't talk from the time you start the Kaddish before Baruch Hu, and that's what it is. That the Chatzi Kaddish that we say after Yishtabach before Baruch Hu is part of Birchas Kriya Shema. If you look at the Rambam's description in the Laws of Tefillah, in Hilchos Tefillah, when the Rambam describes what you say every day, the Rambam there actually doesn't mention Pesukei Dezimra, as far as, he may mention Pesukei Dezimra, but he doesn't, when he describes the order of Shacharis, he starts with Chatzi Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and then the first two brachos of Kriya Shema. The Rambam himself, it's clear from his siddur that's printed in the back of Sefer Abba, that the Rambam has, he says Pesukei Dezimra every day, but he doesn't always mention those things in the formal requirements if it's not a formal requirement. You see something similar also in, So the Rambam, Pesukei Dezimra is not strictly obligatory, even though it's become our standard practice. So the only question that sort of remains is, why are you not allowed to talk after Yishtabach before beginning the Chatzi Kaddish? And in fact, as we'll see a little bit later, we have to look at another couple of sources in between, there actually was a tradition of interrupting davening when people wanted to make a protest, a public protest. It's called Ikuv HaTzfila. I don't know if it is permitted within the by rules of KJ. I've never seen it done in my shul in Congregation Israel and Tinek, but there would be a time where sometimes women would come out of the balcony wherever the women's section was, and they would interrupt the tefillah, stop it, and the right place to do it, because they're unhappy about something, something's being done wrong in the community, and the logical place to do that, and it might have been done here in some cases, would have been after Yishtabach, before you begin the Chatzi Kaddish. So anyway, we'll come back to that. But in the meantime, the Rif says simply that you're not supposed to talk unnecessary sicha once you start Baruch Shema until you finish your Amida. Okay, so now, and I would actually add to that, by the way, that if one is praying privately, it would appear also you're not supposed to speak until after you finish Tachanun. Because Tachanun is really a coda to Tfilah, and you actually see this in a very famous Gemara, but it's a detail that often gets overlooked. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the famous story of Tanuro Shel Achnai, the oven that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim fought over, and eventually tried to invoke God, and a heavenly voice came out and said that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Of course, we don't follow that. So at the end of the story, everybody knows the story, Lo Bashamayim, the gospel comes out, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is rejoicing, Tzuni Banai Netzuni Banai. But then the story continues, the part that not as many people know about the story, which is, this was a family affair. Rabbi Eliezer's sister was married to the Nasi Rabbi Gamliel, who had been in charge of putting him in Beirut. Rabbi Eliezer was married to Rabbi Gamliel's sister. And every day when he would daven, he was alone, obviously, he was excommunicated. She would interrupt him after his tefillah before he would say tachanun. She didn't want it to say tachanun, because tachanun is the mizmor in which you ask God to avenge you of your enemies. Yashuvu, Yivoshu Kolavai, Yashuvu Yivoshu Raga. So really, it's a prayer for God to exact punishment from your enemies. And she was afraid that Rabbi Eliezer prayed it would not do well, for her brother. And one day, she got distracted, I think, by an ani, and he managed to go right into Tachanun, and she knew things were missed, and Rabbi Gamliel died. That's the story in Barba Metzia. So what's so interesting is, what is the point of interrupting? So fine, you interrupt him, and then he'll go, fine, you interrupt whatever you interrupt, and now he'll say Tachanun. So apparently, Tachanun doesn't have the same effect when it's not attached to Tzila, because Tachanun is really part of the Tzila. So really, if one were davening be Yechidor, it would certainly be ideal not to interrupt if one needs to stop for something until actually after Tachanun has been completed. And one can ask the question whether it also means in a tzibur that one shouldn't talk until after Tachanun has been completed, which means one should not fall, even after one has finished one's own silent Amida, aside from disturbing other people, because you're going to have the repetition of the Shliach Tzibur and the Tachanun. And when they say the Chatzi Kaddish at the Tachanun, you need to take a break. That would be a better time to take a break. But anyway, this is what the Rif says. The Rif sort of draws a, makes one line from the beginning of Baruch Shamach to the end of the Shemona Esrei. Rabbeinu Yona, writing here, says, "V'takina Rabbanan l'meimar bracha mikamaya bracha mibasrayu." That's, he's quoting the Rif. "V'kosav Rav Amram Gaon Zal, shem nichnas adam lebeis ha-kneses, v'roe, shem yastil lomar kolav tzuk." The person enters shul, and they see that if they start to try to say all the psukim that are in psuke v'zimra, shelo yuha lahashlam ulustal imatibor, you're not going to be able to David, the most important thing is beginning your Amida when the Tzibur begins it. That is the essence of Tefillah Tzibur. Tefillah Tzibur is not really the Chazar Sashas, Shat, it's beginning your Tefillah along with the rest of the Tzibur. So if you see that you're not going to have enough time to get there, so Rav Amram Gon said, Shayomar Baruch Sha'amar, you should say Baruch Sha'amar, U Mizmorim Shel Tehillah L'David Bilvad. You say the Mizmorim of Tehillah L'David alone, so it means we say a lot of other stuff. We say Hodu, we say Miss Malasoda, we say this, at the end of Hodu and Yehi Chavod are both, what do they call, medleys, I guess, of different psukim. We say Vayivarech David, and we say, a passage from Nehemiah as well, that includes the Chorosim Arbris, and then we say Shira Sayam. So, Rav Amram Gon said, don't, and maybe other people said others. The Rambam, I think, mentions in the Mishnah Torah, some people would say Shira Sa'azina. So Rav Amram Gon says, you say, if you don't have enough time, say Baruch Shamar, Mizmorim of Tehillah David, which I presume he means Kufnen Ba, Kufnen Hey, through Kufnon, and then, V'chosein Bo B'Birkas Yishtabach. And then you say Yishtabach. Sha'af al-pi sha'ga'onim tiknu lomar mitilo David al-kol anu shamar. Kevan sha'ikar ha'kana nira shalo haisa ela nei ha'mizmor. I want to take that back. I think he's saying you say just Ashrei. It should be not Mizmorim Shel Tehillah David, but I think he means the Mizmor Tehillah David. We'll see in a second. But the whole purpose was because of Tehillah David, Sherei Anu Roim Shal Kriyas Oso Mizmor Bovad Amru Shemuptach Lo Shuben Olam Haba. That was the Gemara in the first parak. Therefore, Dai Lo Bezeha Mizmor Kedei Sheyomar Kriyas Shmavat Tehillah Matzid. So better that you say at least that Mizmor, Ashrei, so that you can say Kriya Shema and begin your tefillah with a tzibur. So that's what he quotes from Aram Gold. So if you really don't have enough time, Parash Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach. Again, it's a little confusing because he says the Mizmorim of Tehillah L'David. Then he says, the Od Amar Harav Natar Rachbana Uparke, Rabbeinu Yoda, Kishem Rabosav Gal. So this Perush, I probably said this, the commentary on Brachos on the Rif is known as Talmidei Rabbeinu. It's put together by his students. That's why they're always quoting him as Harav or Rabbeinu. So the Rabbeinu Yonah quoted from his Rabbeinu, She'im nichnas b'shar shemas galachaz al yotzer, v'lo haye yachal omar afilu zeh ha-mizmar bilvad. If you don't even have enough time to do, Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach, She'yastil kriya shema b'rchoset, start immediately with kriya shema, b'rchos kriya shema, and kriya shema, v'yispal olamat tzibol, then when you're done, you finish Shema, you finish the Amida, and don't leave here now, because if you leave here now, you're going to get what's not the halacha. But he says, after you finish your Amida, now go back and say Baruch Shamar, Psukei Dezimra, and Yishtabach. Why? She yoser tohu she yisfala ma tibor. Better to daven tzila. But tibor sha tzila ritsuya umekubeles lepnei hamakom. It's better. Tefillah B'Tzibur is more, it's more an appeasement, it's more accepted by God. Meshe Yomru HaMizmorim, Tchila, rather than, and better than saying, Psukei Dezimra first, V'lo Yucha L'Ispal U'Matzibur. Then you won't be able to daven with the Tzibur. The Chevan Shetiknu Bracha Aleihem, since there's a Bracha, on Psukei Dezimra, Bracha before and a Bracha after, Ein Lo Lasuach Bahem. You're not allowed to interrupt him. And then he adds, Uva Midrash Omer, Sha'afilu, Bein Birchas Yishtamach Le'yotzar, Eino Lahafzik Klal, Ochein Kassar Rafasikam. So here's the interesting part. He quotes a tradition from a Midrash that you're not even supposed to interrupt between the end of Yishtamach and the beginning of Yotzar. And he says that's what the riff holds. That's why we know the riff holds that way, because the riff said the talking ban begins with Baruch Shema and ends at the end of your Amida. The riff doesn't say that you're allowed to speak after your Shabbat before the Chatzis Kaddish. Now, if you were to only follow Rabbeinu Yonah's position, you would follow do something that we do not do. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if you miss, if you have no time for even bare bones Pesukei Dezimra, then after you say, you don't do Pesukei Dezimra at all, and when you're done with your tefillah, then you go back and you say Pesukei Dezimra with the brachos. So some of you probably already know that that we don't do. In other words, we do encourage people to go back and say Pesukei Dezimra, to say them as Pesukim, to say them as Morim Tefillim, but not to make the brachos. And we'll talk about why. So I now roll in front of you the Torah. And the Torah quotes the halacha, basic laws of Pesukei Dezimra here. He says, can you say Pesukei Dezimra later and get Tzibur B'Tzibur now? V'heshiv she'eno yachol. He said, you can't say Pesukei Dezimra later. Ki tiknum kodem tefila, because they made him as a takana before tefila. This, by the way, is what Tosfos says in our parak, and they have touched upon the Tosfos briefly, that the purpose of Pesukei Dezimra is that so a person will be omed l'tefila mitoch devrei Torah. And the purpose of Pesukei Dezimra is to set us in a frame of mind for tefila. So the Hasidim HaRishonim used to wait an hour, meditate or something, and some say you have to only, you start davening and you talk bar halacha. So Tosfos says, we do Pesukei Dezimra as a preparation for tefillah. This is being omed mitoch devrei Torah. So Rav Nachmanai said, the takana was only before Birchas Kriyas Shema. And therefore he says, Ela Omer Baruch Shamar Ad Mehulo Bat Hishpachos, the Omer Tehillah LaDavid, Umedaleg Ad Halalu Kel Bekadsho, the Omer Kol Hashama Tehalo Kahal Vita. So Rav Nachmanai makes it sound like you say Ashrei, or Kol Tehillah LaDavid, and Mizmar Kofnum. That you say. This last mitzvah is Haluka Halukel Bekadsho. So you say that up until the end. It's very short. It's six psukim. And then the Chosein Nebishtaba, Umamaher Lispaala Matzibor. And then you hurry up to catch up to do Tfilas Matzibor. So you're doing a bridge psukim Dezimra. The Lo Yomar Alsam Achar Tfilah Kol Iker. You can't say them after Davening at all. Now, there is, we've already seen the other opinion, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Torah will quote it from his father. I want to make one observation here. Most, we paskin like this, but most of you are going to say the following. What, if you were taught these halachos and wherever you were taught them, you would say that you were taught that if you couldn't say Pesukei Dezimra at all before, you say the mismarim of the Pesukim of Pesukei Dezimra without the brachos after you're finished out. There are achronim who believe that that's not what Nachmanai says. Nachmanai doesn't say that you can't say the brachos afterwards. He says you can't say Pesukei Dezimra afterwards. So some achronim say, well, yeah, you can't say Pesukei Dezimra. It means the brachos, because why can't you say Pesukei Dezimra? If I want to, let's say, after I finish davening, I want to just recite Tehillim, right? Like they might do in some shuls. We're just going to recite Tehillim. There's nothing wrong with that. So what's wrong with when you're done with your tefillah saying, oh, okay, well, I can't say Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach because this is not the right place of Pesukei Dezimra, but I'm going to say all the Mizmarim of Pesukei Dezimra and all of Pesukei. So that is actually what we accept. But there are some Achronim who push back and say, no, that reciting the praise then is actually just not appropriate. It's kind of like you did things wrong. Because normally you're supposed to praise God before you do your tefillah. That is even reflected in our structure of the Shemone Esrei, of the Amida. So to say these things of praise as Pesukei Dezimra after the fact is wrong. Of course you can say Tehillim if you want, but not the Torah's Pesukei Dezimra. Yeah, but that interpretation is not, I think, the one we accept. We assume that if you weren't able to say Pesukei Dezimra at all, or if you were able to say an abridged Pesukei Dezimra, it is laudatory and appropriate to say Pesukei Dezimra without brachos afterwards. Rav Nachmanai's Gaon's position, as we understand it, is you don't say the brachos if you're not saying it before Kriyas Shema and Tefillah. However, he says, V'zeh l'shon Adoni Avi HaRasal, the third now quotes his father, the Rosh, Kasef Rav Amram, Im nichnas avon beis hakneses v'roa shem yomar fa'il of sukim shal yuchal v'hashim tzvios of atzibur, Rabbi Miona quoted this all. Oh, sorry about that. Yomar, Baruch Shamar, u'mizmar shetil adavid v'vad, v'chosem mishtaba. Yikasu b'shem ha-rabar b'yonash, amar mishem rabosav, shem nichnas t'shar sh'shleya tzibor masla yotzer or, v'in lo shalos loma afil zilo l'zavit, tovu, if you enter, you don't even have time to say, far shama ashrei shtala, tovu sh'yikrafir shma b'chot, sh'ar v'yisal ma'tzibor, v'achar kach yikraf sh'ke b'zim, im ha-bracha sh'ofem sh'acharem, that was Rabbeinu Yonah's position, that you do say the brachos, v'fisha tzvila l'tzim l'kubal sh'ma'tzibor. So the Torah here quotes two opinions of whether or not you can say Pesukei B'Zimmer after Tefillah. I wouldn't add one note to what I just said before about the Machlokas Achronim. The way the Torah presents things, it really does sound like that not the sheet that we hold like. Is there, the Rav Nachmanai doesn't say Pesukei B'Zimmer after the Brachos. Rav Nachmanai says, don't say Pesukei B'Zimmer. He's contrasting that with the position of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is, don't say Pesukei B'Zimmer. If you do say Pesukei B'Zimmer, obviously they make brachos. If you're not saying Pesukei B'Zimmer because you're not supposed to, you obviously don't say brachos. But either way, there are certainly two opinions of whether you can make brachos afterwards. When we go to the Shulchan Aruch, the Siman Nun Beis, and here we have, that's the Ramah, I think it's the Ramah, or maybe it's the Mechaber, we'll quote the various opinions. The Mechaber quotes the opinions of what do you say if you don't have enough time. So, this is the Siman of Din Mishasha, level of the Beis HaKnesses, Adishtaba. There's one Siman. In Bona Beis HaKnesses, Umatza Tzibur, Besop Sukkah Vizimra, Omer, Faro Shamar Ad Mehulol Bat Mishpachos, Ve'achar Kach Tihilo L'David Ad Ne'achavi Ad Olam HaVavuka, which is Ashrei for us, without, he doesn't say Ashrei, but he does have the Pasuk that we add at the end, which is not part of Tihilo L'David. Ve'achar Kach, says the Mechaber, Hallelujah, Hashem and Hashemayim, Adam Neisong, Krob Halukah. That's Mitzvah Kofem Ches, the entire thing. The Achar Kach, Hallelujah, Kel B'Kacho, Ad Kol Hashem HaKalukah, which is all the Mitzvah Kofem. And then the Ramah says, Hagah, now, in Vinyesh Lo Shahos, Yoser, Yomar, Hodu Lashem, Kibru Vishmo, Ad Vuhu Rachum, you would say, Hodu, but up in the Vuhu Rachum, V'yedale Od, Ad, Vuhu Rachum Shekodem Ashrei, Kibeintayim Einam Eino Rach Sukim Melukatim. In between is just a random collection of stuff. It's not random, it's a thematic collection, but from all over the place. And that's not really as important. Then the Mechaber continues. After you've said 145, 148, 150, the Achar Kach Yishtabach, the Achar Kach Yotzer V'Kriya Shema V'Chaseha, then the Yisbala Matzib. So the Mechaber's position is as we would expect. And he adds, and this is like Rabbeinu Yonah or Rav Amram Gombim, Ein Shos Kol Kach Yidalin Gam Nizmar Halos Hashem Min HaShamayim. He doesn't say eliminate Kof Nun, but that would be more like Rav Nachmanai. Rav Nachmanai going, I can identify at least, I think, really five shitos here in terms of prioritization. I see it. I thought it was quoted, but it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have time, ideally you want to do all six Mizmorim, from Kufnum Hei to Kufnum, but for some reason it's not here, and I don't know why. And then the Mechaber says if you don't have time, you do 148 and 150. And then there is an opinion that if you don't have time for that, you just do Ashrei and 150. And then there should be an opinion here that if you just have time, you do Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach, and that's it. For some reason, I don't see that here either, but that, I believe, is the hierarchy we accept. That when push comes to shove, you start with all the Halalukas, 145, 148, 150, then 145 and 150, then just 145. The 148, 150, and Ashrei is the Mechaber here, that is, that's Rashi Shita. The Ashrei and 150 is Rav Nachmanai Gaon. The Ashrei alone I think that appears, that would appear to be Rav Amram Gaon. And saying all the Halalukas, I don't know anybody who says that explicitly, but that would fundamentally be the Rish Shita, that's all Sukhi Dizim. Okay. And then, the Ramah adds, The bottom line is you really don't have time for that. You just do Baruch Shama Ashrei Shtaba. Then, in Kvar Eskilu, Hatzibur Yotzer, if you really don't have time, because they already started Birchas Kriya Shema. But in Shos Lomar Pesukei B'Zimra Afilu B'Dilu, you don't have any time to say Pesukei B'Zimra, even in a bridge fashion. Yikra Kriya Shema U'Birchas Zeho, Ima Tzibor V'Yispal Imohem. You say Kriya Shema, you daven with the Tzibor, V'Achar Kach Yikra Kol Pesukei B'Zimra. Below Bracha, right here, below Bracha Shalfein, below Shalachare. Okay. The Ramah adds, Mitomak Gom Yomar Kala Bracha Shem Kuyin L'Bar Babot. So, if you didn't have enough time to say the Birchas HaShachar before, then you can say that after daven. But the brachos of Pesukei B'Zimra can only be said before Pesukei B'Zimra. The Mechaber is paskening like Rav Nachman Naigo, that you don't say the brachos of Pesukei B'Zimra once you say it after Shmoneh Esrei, after the Amida, but you still can say the Mizmorim themselves. Okay. Any questions on this? The moral of the story, of course, is get the shul on time. All right, but if you didn't, so this is the order of prioritization.
Rabbi, I do have a question.
Yeah,
I want to understand. Rav Natronai and Rabbi Leona disagree about the brachot.
At least about the brachot, yes. And as Rav Natronai, there is a sheet that Rav Natronai go and might say that you don't even say the mizmorim afterwards. But okay, let's not have.
But what else do they disagree further than just the brachot? Don't they?
No. They just disagree whether you can say brachos pesukei b'zimra if you're not saying pesukei b'zimra before Krishna.
Okay.
There's another element here that I don't know how it works in all shuls. I suspect it's not any better than it is in KJ. That if the Valtfila is going at the normal racing pace in Pesukei D'Zimra, he should slow down between Yotzer Or and Shmoneh Esrei to give people who are davening properly a chance to say those brachos and Shema and still start Shmoneh Esrei with the kohol and not be stuck at the beginning of Ezra Savosenu and wondering what to do.
I remember many years ago when I first moved into Tina, many years ago. So there was somebody who used to daven them, and I don't remember if he was a chiv at the time, where his Pesukei D'Zimra took forever, and then I could have said it twice in the time that he said it, and I can say it pretty fast. But when it came to Birchas Kriya Shema, and then Kriya Shema, and I don't think the rabbi at the time, because he was the principal of the school, he didn't usually daven less during the week, so it wasn't the rabbi to wait for. It felt like he just flew through there. And I once unsuccessfully tried to persuade him that it's better to slow down during Birchas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema than during Pesukei D'Zimra, because Pesukei D'Zimra is kind of optional and people can skip and so on. I wasn't terribly successful, but of course it might be nice if people, usually the difference between, I find at least, between a fast davening or even too fast davening at a comfortable pace is typically not more than 3 minutes. It really doesn't take that much additional time to give people all the time, but yes, certainly, I'm certainly much more unhappy when they rush through Birchas Kriya Shema than Shema. Birchas Kriya Shema I could do quickly too, but Shema takes me a long time, and I wish they would take longer than the Amida, but really in all the things, adding, 10, 12 seconds into each thing makes a world of difference for anybody, most people who would be a little bit slower. Okay.
Rabbi Wiener?
Yes.
I think this is the third time you've used the language of optional, kind of optional, or only minhag for Pesukei D'Zimra.
Mm-hmm.
If my memory is right, you gave kind of a rather firm shear many years ago by now probably. I think the topic may have been when tefillah groups, where you actually spoke very zealously about Minhag Yisrael, and I think you might have even argued it actually may have less flexibility than halacha. I just wonder whether, this sort of repeated reference to Pesukei D'Zimra is basically optional, given that I think that it's been a Minhag Yisrael for many centuries now. If not more than that, it's exactly the right language.
So thank you for sort of pushing me on that. You're probably correct. When I use the term optional, I would say when you compare it to Birchos Kriya Shema Tefillah, it's optional. Clearly, as I think you know, I say Pesukei D'Zimra every day. I don't look and say, today I'm a little tired, so I'll just start with it. You just start with Birchas Yotzer Or. Now, so you're absolutely correct. I think we regard it in the same way we regard Maariv as obligatory. I think Sukkot Zimmer is not as obligatory as Maariv today. I think we've accepted it as the practice. But in most strict halakhic terms, when comparing it to things around it, which is really what we're doing now, because we're saying, well, what do you skip when you don't have enough time? We don't say, well, you know, leave out Yotzer or just say Avol Rabba, so you can say Baruch Shem Asher Yisrael. The answer is no, of course not. Because in comparison to Birchas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema, which is an absolute of no question, Dina Mishnah, Dina Gemara, there's not a question. So Pesukei D'Zimra, it's, you know, has that element still where it is not as obligatory, and hence my reference earlier to the Rambam, that when he presents it in Hilchos Tefillah, even though clearly the Rambam said Pesukei D'Zimra every day, he presents it in Hilchos Tefillah, he says Shachris begins with Chazi Kaddish. So I don't mean it in the Halacha L'maisa sense that it's a Midas Chassidus. Halacha L'maisa, Klal Yisrael has accepted it, but certainly in comparison to certain other elements of the entire davening, it is only optional in that sense. And hence, in this particular simon we just looked at, when it's a triage situation, what goes? The answer is, compared to Berchas Kriya Shema, it's optional, therefore this is what gets sacrificed for us. But yes, it is absolutely a broadly accepted minhag Klal Yisrael that this is what we do, and we don't tell anybody except for under extraordinary circumstances they don't have to do Pesukei D'Zimra. So thank you for sort of pushing for that, you know, correction or clarification. Okay. Now, the question of interruption, I just wanted to draw your attention to two brief sources. Again, I don't think shuls commonly do this today. The only time I remember an ikov hatfila, sort of an ikov hatfila happening in my shul, which was not by shul policy and not by a member of the shul, but a me'agin who was upset at the rabbi who had testified in court under subpoena against him, justifiably, rightly so, went up on the bima after shishi at the hashkama meeting and started ranting and raving about things that nobody quite understood what he was talking about, but it turned out that was his idea of ikov hatfila. But there was a practice of ikov hatfila that could be used both individuals and in matters that were unresolved with other individuals or protest against communal practices, things that were going on. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that Makom Shenagu Litzok Al Chavirehem Bein Kaddish Ubaruchu Liyotzer Or Oladaber B'Tzorchei Rabin To'im Him. So the Mechaber says that it's unacceptable to interrupt them, but the reason why it's unacceptable here is because you don't interrupt after Kaddish and Baruch Hu between that Yotzer Or, because Kaddish and Baruch Hu are part of Yotzer Or. It's the beginning of Tfilah, it's the beginning of Birchas Kriya Shema. So if a person's going to talk, you should realize, not that you should talk, but if you need to talk because it's pressing and you have an option, you speak after you say Yishtabach before the Kaddish is recited, not after the Kaddish and before Baruch Hu. That is probably why, even though the Rav didn't like this, or the Rav changed his mind in various stages, we say, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we say, Shir Amalos Yimamachim, we say it after Yishtabach, before the Kaddish, not after the Kaddish. The Rav was not happy about that either. Shasta told me that at one point the Rav had him move it to before Yishtabach. But then they were doing that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur as well. And someone pointed out to the Rav that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, Nishmas is the beginning of Yishtabach. Just as an aside, if you are like me, who davens Pesukei D'Zimra more quickly than he should most of the time, and you're well ahead of the Chazan on Shabbos, you should stop not before Shochanan, you should stop before Nishmas. Nishmas is the beginning of the concluding bracha of Yishtabach, and wait for the Chazan gets to Nishmas, and then say Nishmas. So eventually, I think the Rav moved to saying Shir Amalos before Nishmas. So that is not the Minhag Yisrael. There are some places that YU, they don't say it at all. But most of the Olam still says, and not all Kilos have it. It's an Ashkenazi thing. I don't even know if Yekas have it. But the standard Minhag Ashkenaz is that we say Shir Amalos, there's some Yeshiva, but it should be said before the Kaddish, not after the Kaddish. That's what I think I've seen everybody do. The Aruch HaShulchan just adds here, Asur Lahastik Bein Kaddish L'Baruch Hu Ubein Baruch Hu Liyotzer Or, V'chein Da'arvus, V'af L'Dvar Mitzvah Asur Lahastik, U'makam Shenagu La'akev HaTzvila, V'shvil Eza Davar, in the place that had a minnow, to do Ikov HaTzvila, because of whatever reasons you would do it, Ya'akvu Kodem Kaddish V'moshetasa V'simin Rezalit, V'af Gam B'zeh Einet Pleino Minakli. The Aruch HaShulchan says that was not the minnow, at least where he was living, they didn't have a minute doing Ikvat Tefillah then, but clearly that was a practice that existed amongst Jewish communities. But if you're going to do it, it has to be done before the Kaddish, not after the Kaddish, not after Baruch Hu, and ditto for at night. We don't, at least Ashkenazim don't do a Kaddish before Baruch Hu, but if you're going to talk to someone after Baruch Hu, before Yotzer begins, you're not allowed to talk either. It's not different than talking between the Birchas of Kriyat Shema, because Birchas Kriyat Shema at night and during the day begin with Baruch Hu. They said Baruch Rachel. If they haven't said Baruch Hu, then you can interrupt for in very matter. But once you've said Baruch Hu, you're now in Birchas Kriyat Shema.
Okay. I'd like to add something a point that the Rav made. What is that Kaddish before Yishtabach all about? So first of all, he called it a Kaddish HaMaschil, and not a Kaddish HaMasayeh. It's a Kaddish that's an introduction to something. Like before Musaf, we have a Kaddish. And he explained what the purpose of that Kaddish is. And he said, that's what creates the minyan. When you read the Rambam, the Rambam says, everybody davens what he's davening, the brachos and sukkah dezimra, whatever it is, privately. And then the shliach tzibur comes to the omud and says, hati kaddish and baruch hu. That the purpose of that kaddish is to create the minyan which makes possible tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur doesn't just happen. There are 10 men sitting there in a room. You have to create it. That was his point. And the kaddish is what creates it, both for shachris and for musaf.
I would add one point, which I don't know what the minhag in KJ is, but I know what the minhag in, I think it has been a while since I davened Rosh Chodesh and YU, but I know it's our shul at Rina. I know it's the, I'm pretty sure it's the Rav's practice.
Yeah, and we
do when you take off the tefillin on Rosh Chodesh, and Ashkenazim technically we really don't have to because we don't say Keser. You really have to do it because the Keser. The minhag even amongst Musaf Ashkenaz is that we take off our tefillin before Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. You're supposed to take your tefillin off before the Chatzi Kaddish. The Chatzim,
right.
When he finishes, he's not supposed to say Kaddish then. He's supposed to stop. Everybody takes off the tefillin. And once they're ready, the Chazan begins Musaf by saying the Chatzi Kaddish. I guess the Rav would have called that a Kaddish Hamas.
Yeah. I actually spoke to my father, Olav HaShalom, about it. I think when I was in the Rav Shir, certainly in his philosophy course where he dealt with tefillah, and I told him this, and we changed the minhag in KJ. And I know wherever you have a student of the Rav, that's what they do. Kenny Brander did it in Boca, and of course Rabbi Adler did it in Teaneck, and Rabbi Davis does it in Hollywood. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Any questions? Okay. So I will, God willing, I want to just make a plea, encouragement for people who are in the city to come in person to share the next 3 weeks. Really, we will be in person. We will Zoom it. But if you're around, really it's much better when people are in person. There are a couple of weeks that it will officially be on Zoom because it's Erev Yom Tov. So that's, for me at least, there's a little less time. So, but we will have share Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev, the first days of Sukkot, so that we'll be sure those days will be only on Zoom, but the rest of the time, God willing, I will be in person. So I would really strongly ask, encourage, cajole people to try to come in person because it really is much nicer that way.
Thank you so very much. Shavua Tov.